You're listening to Middays with Marcus Maben, broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage.
Are we going to talk about that on air at some point during the show? I mean, are people going to be ready to hear that conversation? Oh, we're back? Oh, welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station.
You can get your friend Dick.
Please elaborate.
I'm not going to. I want you to think about that one for a little while.
Well, my mind is like in the Pennywise gutter, so I'm going to need you to elaborate on that, please.
Just, Dick is terrible.
Did you look at the time?
How dare you?
Do you have that mark?
Dick Vitale is.
He's the worst.
He's the worst.
He is just the worst.
He's the worst.
You guys coming at my Uncle Dick?
Yes.
What is all this?
No, he's the worst.
How is he the worst? Why?
We'll talk about it later.
We're going to tease that for later. We're going to put that off.
I might wait till Wednesday because I don't want to cuss. I don't want to cuss on radio.
I know.
We have the delay.
He is the absolute worst.
Hey, you got us Ryan McMahon. I don't know if you heard about that.
What a great, great, great zinger in the middle of our conversation. So, Steve,
love
you slid the scale to 70%. It's on Malik, 30% on the line. Is that what most of the fan base thinks?
I don't know that. I don't know
8150,
that.
8150-93.9 is the number. 3831-93.9 is the text line. Mm-hmm. You're more than welcome to comment on the YouTube channel. The YouTube channel is made for the Ville. What I'm asking is, with your sliding scale, offensive line to Malik, where do you put the blame? If we have a blame, we have a fantasy football style percentage bar on wins versus losses. Yeah. Where would you slide the blame line? I think, actually, Steve, mm-hmm. when I say it out loud and when I ask the question out loud, I think it's split. I think the fan base that was expecting a better line is so disappointed in their line that they're ready to blame everything on the line. I think the people who really believed in Malik Cunningham and his growth, I think they're so disappointed and feel so let down by Malik that it's a 50-50 split as far as the people feel. Mm-hmm. Now, I do agree with you. I am much heavier on the blame game.
Yeah.
Towards Malik. Now, the part that I don't blame is that the reason it's not much higher is because, one, your run game has to back these guys up a little more, right?
Yeah.
But they have some nice bump and run coverage.
They do. And we'll get to these phone lines that are lighting up. And let me put I'll get a little bit of this text line too, because we're asking out there. And again, this isn't one where I'm necessarily arguing you or argue whoever. I mean, we kind of agree.
Yeah.
So and to answer your immediate question, no, I don't know that I'm in the majority there. That's me. Mm-hmm. You know, I slide it a little bit to Malik because, I mean, we kind of knew what the offensive line is. I mean, I do think it's not.
You knew our offensive line was going to rely on execution and Dwayne Ledford,
especially Coach early.
Yes, you knew it was going to be. Listen, you know Mekhi Becton's hard to replace.
Yeah, we've said that. I mean, I do think the line, though, I don't think they're a lost cause. I think they'll get better. Mm-hmm. Like watching them, I mean, I feel like they can improve. Or you know, I mean, so I don't necessarily think it's one of those.
I'll get to them all.
Yeah, go ahead.
Joel, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
What's up, fellas? First off, Steve, you might not be in the majority, but I think you are in the majority.
Okay.
So the reason I say that is because I think, you know, it's a small sample size. We've had three games, but in those first three games, I just don't think Malik's looked good at all. I mean, even when you go back to Western, I think the difference I've seen with him, he's thrown a lot more passes that seem to me just to be up for grabs. I mean, if you go up to Western Kentucky, remember that ball he threw deep down the middle of the field for Fitzpatrick?
Mm-hmm.
Fitzpatrick made a heck of a play on it, but that's another pick. I think he's been very, like, forcible and just throwing the ball up for grabs a lot this year compared to last. The offensive line, I agree. I mean, real quick, fellas, I want you to think about this and just the deal with timing and sometimes luck here. And I'm going to go back to, you know, our original schedule, right?
Yeah.
We opened up the season. We would have opened up the season with NC State, okay? You would have been at Clemson week two. And then listen to this. You're playing Murray, Western, at Syracuse, at Boston College, Florida State, then Boston. If they had their original schedule, Louisville might have started out 5-6-1.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, what's crazy about that, they flipped when they reshuffled. Louisville ended up picking up two of the toughest teams in the ACC. I mean, Miami, who knew they were going to be a legit top 10 type of team this year? We pick up them. Then you pick up Pitt, the other ranked team in the ACC. So it's just, it's amazing when you think about the difference of perception. Well, really, if we had our original schedule, we'd probably start out the year 5-6-1. But either way, I look at it like this. I mean, I do think there needs to be another set of another guy back there just to give it a different look, just to see. Because right now, for whatever it is, I don't know if the guy's pressing. I don't know if he saw, you know, everybody. He got a lot of hype after last year and then coming into this year. And I don't know if he's just forcing the issue or what. But I do think he doesn't look on this year so far, three games in. I do think they did play their first two games, or that Pitt game, Miami game. Those are the two top D lines they're going to play. Now, granted, you're going to play Notre Dame again. But what's crazy, if you look at it, if you look at the rest of the schedule, man, I mean, they could run off a good 5 or 6 wins, man. I mean, because going forward, they're not going to play a type of defense as far as the lines goes as Miami and Pitt, other than maybe Notre Dame. So we'll see, but I do think you got that long break coming up, and they really need to evaluate what they want to do here. And I don't think it's a bad idea at all. I don't know if they would run Conley out there or T-Webb or what. But you got to do something, because right now Malik, he's just not on par, man. And that's plain to see when you watch him play. That's my thoughts, man.
Joe, listen, hey. I appreciate the call.
Yeah.
Especially when you thought he was making a big, you were hoping, you were assuming that there, you know, the team was going to make a big jump.
Yeah.
Execution wise.
Yeah.
I think that even adds to your Malik has to play better.
Yeah.
You watch it, you see his quick decisions to pull the ball down, and you justify it by those three plays. You know, offensive line, like I said, they're. I'll put it this way, Steve. I'm not very sympathetic to that team has pros.
Yeah.
Because that thing you sent me the other day, where they ranked the ACC players in the league.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good football players all around the
conference.
Yeah, around the ACC. They're going to play professional football.
Sure.
So I'm kind of like, I can acknowledge some guys are good and still say, you're going to have to get a lot better.
Yeah.
Who we got here? Scott, thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind?
Yeah, y'all are wrong, man. It's 90% the offensive line, 10% Malik. You give him time, he destroys people. Look at Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. The only pocket they got around him is when the offensive line all bend over to pick him up. Same thing with Louisville. Malik's got no time. The running back, how many times did he run into the back end of the offensive lineman? More than 5. They need to upgrade the offensive line, and that's all I got.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate the call. Again, yeah. Snapshots of moments like that, like I get it. But, you know, you say 5 plays, I still say, how many plays did you run over the game?
Yeah.
How many offensive plays did you run where there was something there?
Yeah, and I mean, the Joe Burrow comparison. I mean, Joe Burrow I agree. Their offensive line's terrible, but he gives T. Higgins an awful lot of chances to make plays, and T. Higgins made a lot of plays. And I just feel like, I'm not saying he's totally wrong there. Mm-hmm. That's what I'll say. I mean, this is not, and that's one, like, I mean, I feel you, Scott, but like, this isn't really a you're wrong.
You're right, right.
I mean, I think we're just trying to figure out.
That's
more.
Why I said sliding scale. How does your scale slide?
Because that could be the fact. I mean, it could be, hey, if Malik had more time. And listen, there is something, and you know, I don't know that you value this the way I do, but there is a piece of me that's rooting for Malik because I like the thought process of, I've got my quarterback for the next 3 years. You know what I mean? Like, this is my guy now, you know? And, but I don't want to not, if that's in a year like this, mm-hmm. where eligibility is not mm-hmm. counted towards anybody, I think you'd be a little bit of a disservice not to maybe check it out.
Because I have to find out something.
Unless he gets it rolling. Look, I don't know. I mean, again, I'm not rooting for him to necessarily be pulled out. I mean, but I'm rooting for what you're saying. In practice, I'd open it back up a little bit, though. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, man, live football, let's open it up. Let's see what y'all got.
Yes, because, again, this is what we're going to have.
Yeah.
This is what you got to work with. You're going to have to get better. You're going to have to get quicker. These quarterbacks, like I watch, and this is a terrible thing I'm gonna do, but you're gonna know where it's coming from. I watch Russell Wilson just shred the Cowboys last night.
Go on.
on a last drop. No, I'm kind of joking, but I'm kind of not.
Make your point.
Russell Wilson. You can watch people step up in the pocket and get out of the pocket.
Yeah.
You can watch them feel where people are.
Yeah.
The good quarterbacks can feel the pressure.
Well, and Russell Wilson's such a great comparison because, of course, you're not comparing the two. But Russell Wilson's such a great comparison because Russell Wilson's undersized.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Malik's undersized.
Mm-hmm.
So Russell Wilson finds an extra way to because the Cowboys' pass rush has really improved. I mean, and you've got two great, three, really, the way Alton Smith's playing. But, I mean, you have great rush, and he finds a way to step up and to see where he can make his throws.
Yeah, like I said, and another thing, people, I mean, I hear you with the play calling. Let's get some quick stuff, some stuff across the middle. Now, if his quick, see, those are the passes that have to be hot.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have a hot arm.
Yeah.
You know? And being an undersized guy, it doesn't have a hot arm.
Mm-hmm.
That takes away the playbook a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? So sure. You almost say Malik and throw in a caveat of what he's good at and what he's not good at. And that's when you start saying, that's the reason I bring up the conversation of, okay, at some point I'm losing more of the playbook than I'm gaining with his short. You know.
Well, because I'm just like, can Braden, Justin Marshall, Des Fitzpatrick, Tutu Atwell, I mean, can they not make – I mean, because, look, I'll play your game. Hey, maybe everything's not open, okay?
Okay, this play right here. Braden Smith catches that ball, and he turns on his jets.
Yeah.
And, okay, so now I see this play, and then I'm saying to myself, quick pass out to Braden Smith – I should be able to do it, right?
Right.
And I say, I know the coach knows this, right?
Yeah.
And then I say, okay, times I've seen him just do the bubble screen pass, right?
Yeah.
They're all floaters. If you can't snap and get it out there to him on a sharp pass without throwing it at his knees, then I bring it. I that's why I say I'm going to have to open up my playbook with some other guys with some strength.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know that when they practice, you know, you got to practice execution and turn your body right and get a good pass.
Sure.
No, that one, you as a top level, if you want to be a top 10 quarterback, you're going to get your receivers killed all day long. If you need to get your body fully around and get in a perfect passing position to throw it right out to the sideline to your receiver, to either Dez or Braden, then I have to go get the fastest trigger on my sideline who can throw that pass.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Because, again, this is where we're going to have the conversation. I can't use my wide receivers who are good with the ball in their hands if you can't hook. And the and the football be in my receiver's hands
and give him a shot
within 1.5, 1.5 seconds.
Fitzpatrick may be one of the top five blocking wide receivers in the country. And that's not me taking a shot at him, his other parts of his game. I'm just saying he's elite at that.
Right.
Justin Marshall's pretty good too. If I can't snap the ball and get it out to Braden or 2-2 and say, all right, go. Like, wide side of the field.
One man, make a miss.
Yeah, and get 5-6 yards. Like, it's just simple things like that. Yeah,
I mean, we watched football all day yesterday, and we saw everything.
The screenplays are just, they're not there, and I don't think Satterfield don't want to call them. Like, I don't think it's that he don't want to call them.
Yeah, no, listen, it's split-second decision or split. Dude, a lob, the difference between a lob slow pass and a quick hot pass is getting your wide receiver a 50-yard touchdown up the field or getting him killed.
Yeah. And sometimes players are going to make a good play, and you live with that.
Birdhead Ryan, thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind?
What's up, guys? I do have a couple of points. I want to jump on what you just said about split-second decisions. And my concern with Malik, and there were times where he didn't even have 2 seconds to do anything. There was one time he went to hand the ball off, and our running back got tackled as he was getting the ball. If that's the case, you can't run any play. I mean, you really can't do much of anything if you can't even hand the ball off without already being tackled. I'm not concerned about the offensive line. I feel like Coach Ledford will get the most out of the line. My concern is that enough? I feel like he's going to get the most out of the talent that he has, but you go up against the likes of the Miamis and the Clemsons and even the Kentuckys that have O lines that are D lines that are just massive. There's only so much you can do as a player when you're undersized and overmatched. That I feel like he's going to get the most out of it. It is a big concern, but what are you going to do about it now? There's nothing. You can only play with what you have, so. I'm also a little concerned about, and I'll go back to what you all asked is where's the split here? And I feel like it's more of a 50-50 split because, my concern for Malik is he an actual game manager? Can he manage a game? How many audibles did he call when he saw something on the line or something in the secondary? Did he change the play a lot? I haven't seen a lot of audibles that he's called. So is he just running the exact plays that's given to him? Is he not looking for that third and
the sideline does their audibles. They look at the defense. Okay. We do completely sideline reading for the play call.
Okay. Fair enough. But let's say he wants to check down to the third or fourth option. At this point, he doesn't even have time to check down to that third or fourth option. So maybe it's a combination of the play calls that maybe you have to scheme the play calls like you said a few minutes ago. Marcus, is get the ball out of your hands quicker, get the ball into the hands of your playmakers. So I'm glad that we have a week off. One other thing I'll say, and I'll jump off, we talked a lot all season about Malik being injury-prone. Mm. And when he got hit and went down, and I'm not going to lie, I looked at it and thought, what happened? Like, he didn't even look like he got hit hard. So, is that going to be a concern all year that any blow to him is he's going to go down and he's going to limp off the field and we got to bring somebody else in. I know that we talked about it all off season, but that play did not look like he got injured on, but yet they carted him off the field. And I hope that he bounces back and we do have this week off that will help him. But anyways, I'll jump off, guys. Take care and go cards.
Listen, I appreciate the call.
Going into this weekend,
if I'm Malik, I do not want to be on the sideline. I don't want to be in the training room.
Yeah, I'm not.
I know that much.
No, I wouldn't be comfortable.
Yeah, not only would I not be comfortable, but I said it early, Steve, and you get glimpses of it. Nikki.
Some of y'all might get witches, and some of y'all won't, but listen, let me clear my
Listen, Western Kentucky, I say you have to reward your line on those late finishing drives.
Sure.
You have to reward your running back on those drives. I said it won't be a public problem, but you vulturing goal line touches for touchdowns, it's going to be in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
Now, you overthrow a couple of wide receivers, throw a couple of bad, you know, these wide receivers don't get a lot of opportunities. And when they do get those opportunities and you miss it, wide receiver, like I said, it's just a little thought that can creep in the back of people's.
I mean, that's not uncomfortable. That's not uncomfortable. Like, that's a conversation.
But it turns it can turn into something.
No, I'm saying that's not uncomfortable for us for you to bring up.
Defense gets this late game turnover, gives you this opportunity. You come out here and you throw an obvious pick, like a horrible pick.
Yeah.
Now, that crossing route in the middle is going to be. I don't know if I trust you.
Yeah.
Not to get me killed.
Yeah.
You know? So throw all that into this gumbo of offensive line versus quarterback play versus
wide receiver.
Go back
to the Braden Smith catch against Western.
Yes.
See, at the time we go, okay, great play. Now you start going.
You go Braden Smith.
Yeah.
Listen, you go Braden Smith. You go Dez Fitzpatrick interception, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just kind of start throwing those in where, okay, you get pass interference out of Tutu Atwell, you know. I got one for you, you know. But eventually, dude, my whole season, I'm going to have about 13 opportunities for big-time plays. I can't be out here running wide open and you missing them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Defense energy. Falls. Offensive energy falls. Your quarterback is in control of the pulse. I said it to you during the game. There's a little bit of jogging. Everybody's jogging just with a little less urgency. I don't like it. That's me nitpicking. You know, it's not emergency stuff. But just, hey, my receivers, I need some pep in your step.
Yeah.
Hey, running on and off the field, I need some pep in your step. Your drag ass energy is showing, and it's one of those subliminal body language.
No, it
things.
Is noticeable.
Yeah. That manifests into something.
Sure.
Actually, you know, going on. Okay. You know what? Since we're close to the last break, we're gonna do grades. We are gonna do grades.
Okay.
Grades for positions. Grades for for situations. It's Monday, right?
Yeah.
Middays with Marcus Maven on 939 The Ville.
When you are buying or selling a home, you have a ton of questions that need to be answered. Well, what if I could answer those questions with three simple words? Call Josh Jarbo. Josh specializes in residential real estate, getting buyers the home of their dreams and sellers top dollar for their home with the best negotiating skills in the industry. And if you tell him you heard about him right here, you'll receive up to a $5,000 seller's credit. So contact Josh Jarbo today at 502-216-7590 or joshjarbo@remax.net.
Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville is broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services studio. Now, here's Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben, 81.50, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. I think we can do grades in random order. I don't think it's necessary. But we'll also open up the phone lines to your specific grades.
Yeah.
If there's an area you're just that we didn't cover as extensively as you may have liked. But before we get to that part,
yeah,
let me let you know. Temperature control is one of the greatest luxuries in 2020, especially when you're in the house all the time. And if you feel that way, DFH Company is the company for you. Simply dial 968 6222 and ask them about their Mitsubishi mini split, which we use at both our ESPN 680 studios and 93.9 Cummings studios, or DFH.com. Again, 968-6222, or look them up online at DFHcompany.com.
Oh, that was good. I'm going to remind you, your home for Lamar Jackson and Baltimore Ravens football is right here on ESPN Louisville. And tonight, the Chiefs are at the Ravens. 7:45 on 93.9 The Ville. Lamar and the Ravens are presented by Liquor Barn, where Kentuckians go to celebrate life. Body Armor sports drink, only you can. That's available at Kroger. And Molly Malone's St. Matthews. It's the official Lamar bar all season long.
Okay, so because some of y'all might get no. I dropped the ball. Sorry.
Yeah, you gave him the signal.
I gave him the signal.
Nick just stole second, and you were like, and he knew I'm not supposed to steal second here.
I wanted you to read my lips on this one, right?
No.
Listen. Look at me, because I'm going to try this again, okay? But just look at my face, and can you read my lips? I mean, just for future reference, like, we should be able to pull this one off next time. Like, I blew that because I gave you the simultaneous signal to steal. Steve is right about that. You have no idea what I'm saying, do you?
No, I think I do.
Okay. Some of y'all might get witches, some of y'all won't. Okay, here's the thing, Steve. Because I don't know how long the grade segment is going to get, I just want to cover this really, really quick. There's a guy, a Louisville alum, who is so genuine,
yeah.
Right? So genuine. That in the beginning, we worried for his safety.
Yeah.
We worried, not safety, we worried.
His perception.
Yes, yeah. We worried majorly about his, are they going to get to know him? Are they going to put him in the machine and grind him up and turn him into a hamburger patty?
Right.
You know, just tear him apart. Like, we're protective of this alum, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you appreciate the sincerity? And he's going to tell it to you every time. People, there's a little bit of sound that I want you to hear going into tonight's matchup, Kansas City at Baltimore. This sound, every Louisville fan is like, now you can go. They love you. They know you. Go be you. Go flourish. Interview with one of my favorite Louisville, former Louisville players.
And when you look at Pat, I mean, and I know, you know, I've heard you say this many times, you know, I'm not playing against him, I'm playing against their defense, he's playing against our defense. But when you watch his game, and when quarterbacks watch one another, are there certain things that you really like about his game that you go, you know, I need to try and do a little bit of that? I mean, there has to be some of that, right? I mean, you guys kind of take from one another, don't you, a little bit?
Nah, I don't. I don't know about anybody else, but I don't.
Okay. That's cool. That makes sense. Well,
is that not the best sound
ever? That was great. Mm. And people, I'm sorry. I think it was Nate Huber or Drew Diener. I heard somebody say it within the last couple of weeks. They said radio is theater of the mind. I don't know who said it, but plan on hearing that out of me for the rest of my radio career. It's theater of the mind. You're being cheated just a little bit because Lamar is on this camera and you can see his face. Like, he's looking you dead in the face and he's like, "Nah." I mean, I don't know about everybody else. And I'm telling you, serious, he's not laughing. He's not. And see, we were worried about that. We were like, we've seen Lamar answer a question like, "No, I'm a quarterback and anybody who says anything else is stupid." And we're like, "Yeah, but Lamar, you might have to be a little, you softer, be a little, you know, less direct, because sometimes they like to turn this into some arrogant, you know, Willie Beeman thing before you know it." And it's like, no, he's not Willie Beeman. He's just honest. He's honest about everything, and he'll tell you straight to your face. Can you just play the Lamar part? No, actually, play that one more time before we move along. I just got to hear that one more
time. Yeah, the whole thing is
it's awesome.
And when you look at Pat, I mean, and I know, you know, I've heard you say this.
He so tries
times,
to set this up,
I'm
too.
Not playing against him. I'm playing against their defense. He's playing against our defense. But when you watch his game, and when quarterbacks watch one another, are there certain things that you really like about his game that you go, you know, I need to try and do a little bit of that? I mean, there has to be some of that, right? I mean, you guys kind of take from one another, don't you, a little bit?
Nah. I don't. I don't know about anybody else, but I don't.
Okay. That's cool. That makes sense. Well,
that's the real funny part. The flustered reporter afterwards, like, I didn't expect. He tried to set that whole thing up.
Oh, I know. Yeah, he was going to give him a chance.
You know, that feels like when I set up this big, long, you know, dissertation towards you, and then you go, well, that was nice, but you're wrong. Okay, so here's the thing. So great awesome. Time.
Now go beat him.
Now go beat him.
Go beat him tonight.
Go beat him. But don't get too crunk about it because you're going to see him in the playoffs again. So,
I don't go out to watch many games that the Cowboys aren't playing in. You know what I mean? I'm talking NFL wise because NFL is a little more the sports bar. Mm-hmm. Like I called my son and I was like, hey, after practice tonight, let's swing by the wing spot and go watch.
I think I'm gonna get an afternoon nap.
Yeah, because I'm in, dude. Sorry. Like, yeah.
Okay, Steve, who do you want to grade? Give me a grade. 8150-939 is the number. The phone lines are open. You can tweet at us. You can tweet at Stephen Rummage, at Marcus Maven, at Nick Valvano. I don't know exactly what it is, but just type in his name. You can tweet at him. What's your Twitter handle, Nicky?
Nicky V ESPN.
We talked about
Nicky Vespin.
Nicky Vespin.
I do remember that.
Yeah,
but
we had that conversation.
Okay.
Sorry.
Who do you want to grade?
Well, we've already talked about Malik. We've already talked a lot about the O-line.
Feel free, Texas, 38-31-93-9. If you want to punch in a certain area, if you want to grade them, let me know. Or just text it in. We'll read.
Yeah, I guess we've hit a little bit of everything. But
what do you grade the offense overall?
Yeah, I mean, the offense overall was not good. I mean, I don't know, probably a D. I mean, you, 1 of 11 on third down? That's not going to cut it, man. And a lot of that had to do because they weren't winning first down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you found yourself, but it's like, no, they just,
yeah, I mean, I don't, 20, yeah,
20
I,
points, yeah, right. Man, is not.
Ten yards. 10 yards.
Yeah.
I don't need three downs.
Yeah.
To go 1 for 11.
I could probably go an F if I wanted to really, but man, yeah. Probably a D. Just, I mean, because I'll give them a D only because I really respect Pitt's defensive line.
So that doesn't move it to a C?
No. No, because we're supposed to. Listen, it's the Cowboys. I'm sorry. Like, you know, I'm going, no, you have all the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, yeah, okay, well, maybe the offensive line isn't the best in the world, but, like, come on now.
Yeah, you have to be able to execute some plays that move the ball, even if they're a good, like I said, they can be a really good defensive line. Sorry about that. I don't know what's.
I do, and I know this is kind of odd to say. It's not you, Nick. It's YouTube.
Some of y'all might get witness.
Some of y'all won't. Every time we look at it, it's like, you need sound? I will say this. I do, believe it or not, and I know you probably know where I'm going with this, but I do have an A-plus to give out. Against Pittsburgh.
My field goal kicker.
Listen, my special teams unit, I may go total special teams unit.
Mm, I can do that.
Listen, the punting is still leaves a little bit to be desired. So maybe if I did the whole unit, I would have to go A-. But Turner looks like he is very comfortable kicking the football.
Mm, I did enjoy that.
Yeah,
and I'm glad you said that because those things should not go from we got the worst special teams unit to we got the worst all these other units. No, you got some good kicking.
Mm-hmm.
That is a luxury to get to the 30-yard line and see a couple go straight down the pipe. Right?
Yeah.
That is a big time luxury. You know what it was like when our kicker went out last year, and we're like, oh, God, 4th and 17, we got to go for it because we can't kick a 30-yard field goal.
Yeah.
Acknowledge that part.
Yeah, I mean.
And I'll even do this. Short kicking, punting, right now, it does not bother me as much
mm-hmm.
because working on getting them off quick.
Yeah.
First and foremost, you got to get the punts off. We got to clean, you know. So, you know, while we have short numbers, we don't have a nice composite number of yards on kicks. Right now, you get them off, you get them protected. And that fake punt was supposed to win you the game.
Yeah, that would, man.
You cannot come away with three on that one.
Let's talk about that for a second. Because to have the presence of mind as a coach.
You think he set that up?
No. I know he set it up because they didn't even try to snap it.
Right.
To take the 5-yard penalty and say, okay, because when he did that, because you said, you go, maybe they fake it here. And I said, yeah, we'll see. And then they took the penalty, and I'm like, good Lord. You know, like, I'm like, the guy can't hardly, the guy, we're only punting 40, 50 yards, or 40, 35, 40 yards, and you're going to take 5 yards? It made no sense. But to have the presence of mind to do that, then call, because nobody, when you take that, nobody's expecting a fake.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a tremendous call.
Huevos.
On the coaching staff.
If they stop that fake punt, oh my God, what is your Monday morning like?
Oh yeah, I'd be angry. but still, I mean, okay, so yeah, so special teams, man. Kickoff, great coverage. Great coverage. Travelstead, even when he doesn't put it in the end zone, he puts it high.
Mm-hmm.
He gives the defensive, you know, he gives the defense or the kicking team time to get down there. They're laying some pretty good licks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty impressed with it. And again, like I said, the most to me is Turner because he's very comfortable.
Great defense.
The entire defense, yes. probably a B. Probably a B, man. I'm probably a B plus. 23 points, you know, one
fluky one.
Yeah, it just, well.
I'm not going to give him fluky pass
No. One, you just didn't finish. Mm. One play, you just didn't finish the play. Probably a B plus. I didn't think they were terrible. And when people are saying, well, how can you have a B plus and an A? Because you can lose a game by 3 points by one of your units being a D. You know what I'm saying? By having a B plus and a D.
Yeah, you can. That's
how you lose a game by three.
A special teams, B plus defense, D offense,
and lose a game by three,
and you're in trouble.
Yeah.
That'll do it right there.
But I mean, I thought the defense made
grade the wide receiver unit.
Now let me say real quick on the defense too. Yes, they were curved a little bit, I think, because of what we saw against Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Good
point.
So if you want to argue with me there a little bit, I would listen to that. But I do think they were good.
Great to safety play.
Safeties, probably, again, I'm kind of curving them in because they were so bad. They were so bad against Miami. I couldn't give them much below a B. Rush East had the one that went right through his hands.
My God.
Yeah.
Oh, Russ.
Yeah, I mean, you got to make that play.
Baby.
Even if it's not a pick, that's got to be an
incompletion. No, Steve. No, don't do that. That's a no stat. That's a no stat, Dad, thing right there.
Fair enough.
No, Russ. That's one of those. I take you off the field the next play.
Yeah.
I take you off the field the next play. That can't happen to playmakers.
Oh, my God.
Is this something that's going
to happen? No, I'm going to call in and cuss out Dick Vitale next time y'all have him
on. Is he still going?
Yeah, I'm going to call in. Next time he's on, I'm going to sabotage the station. I'm going to loose him in without Nick knowing it, and I'm going to start cussing. I'm going to start cussing at him.
What are you so mad about him
he's
for?
He's the worst.
Wayne.
I know he's not, like, you know, infallible, but come on. He's like.
He's the worst.
He's like a lovable dog that, you know, occasionally.
That I'd like to punt. Like, have you ever saw Anchorman? You know what they do to that dog?
Baxter?
Yeah.
You want a Baxter?
I want a Baxter Dick Vitale. That's what I want to do.
Wayne, get us out of this conversation. Thanks for joining us on Middays with Marcus Maven. Fire away.
Yeah, good morning, Marcus and Steve. How you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. Yeah, I enjoyed the contest. I'm seeing improvement. They're getting close to putting a full game together. The defense showed marked improvement. There's some things that they got to straighten out, and then the same thing when they played Miami. But I will say this, Miami looks awesome. And what I had to laugh because I thought about our man that didn't come, Purdy. I guess he's happy with that Florida State situation. But anyway, we don't care about that. But I'm talking about us. Now, we know that our offensive line, they're going to be overpowered. But what you got to do to beat that is you must execute. You have to execute.
Yes.
And do what you need to do. And when you got defenses like you had against Miami and who was the other team? Oh, they just played them. Pittsburgh, you've got to punish them. If they're going to do that hard rush, you got to do those quick dump-offs. But that comes from execution. But now, this week off, this is the perfect time to clear up some things. And I think the next time out, they'll put a whole game together. And that's what I'm looking forward to with the team moving forward. So I'm not discouraged. And like Charlie Strong, you can't leave points on the field. Mm. Anytime you get a chance, and you can't settle for three unless it's absolutely necessary. But you got to put at least six on the board every time. You got the chance, but they're going to be fine. I'm not worried about it. They're going to be fine because they're not going to see any other teams that have a overpowering defense like they saw with Miami and Pitt, and that includes Notre Dame. So I think moving forward, we're going to be fine. But as always, guys, you know what I think about you. Thanks for the shot, and you guys enjoy your day.
Appreciate the call.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Again. It's what you said. It's an icky feeling saying we're not going to play another defensive line that good. That's just an icky feeling.
I know.
You know, but no matter how no matter how true it is, on Monday at 10:50, I'm not ready to talk about how good
Pittsburgh.
That's one of those things on draft day. You say, "Oh, that was a good Pittsburgh team."
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm right now. I'm not gonna do that game. Okay. Another position, Javian Hawkins, running back room.
Oh, he had the 75-yard touchdown.
I think he rushed a couple. I think he was a little quick with his with his decisions.
Yeah,
I think he left some yards on it. There's a good defensive line. I just said I wasn't gonna do that.
I know. I'd probably go C+ for him.
Wide receivers.
Because Javian, I do think, was affected directly a little bit more.
By the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wide receivers. What was it? Was it N.A.?
Yeah, because, I mean, there wasn't a lot to see.
Incomplete?
It's incomplete until I was able to sit down and get a wide view of film. Because I didn't see necessarily, because we didn't get the ball out enough, you know. But so... were they not running the routes? Right, you know what I'm saying? Like were they not finishing routes? Were they not getting open? Like, that's something I need from the eye in the sky a little more. It's tough to be able to grade them.
Coaching.
Pretty good.
Play calling. Actually, we'll separate it.
Yeah.
D coordinator, offensive coordinator.
Well, a D coordinator, I mean, she'd probably get a B+ or an A-. Because, I mean, it was a pretty drastic difference. Now, again, Miami, I think, is much better offensively than Pitt, but there was still a big difference there. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, mentality even, you could see a bigger difference. So, I would say I'd probably have to give him B+ too. Yeah, because I thought Brian Brown did. I thought he did his thing.
So the offensive play calling?
That's an NA too a little bit, because I'm like – are we conservative because we know what we can do?
Are we conservative by force?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so I think that may be a little bit of the issue. So, yeah, I mean, now I agree, you know, down the stretch, you know, there's things. But, I mean, I watched. We got the ball deep. I mean, you know, the Cowboys did it yesterday. When we talk about the end of the second quarter, we had the ball, right? And you say, okay, well, why did we just run it and why did we just get out of there? Well, you saw what was happening when we were dropping back to throw it.
Right.
So Dallas yesterday gets the ball at the end of the half. You're thinking, oh, okay, well, maybe they'll go score. Dak Prescott throws a pick. You know, Seattle, now you go into halftime, it's 16-15, and you're thinking, okay, and we get the ball back. Well, now all of a sudden, boom, it's 23-15 because you threw a pick, you know. And I'm going, man, you should. Now I'm going, I wish they would just kneed on it, you know. I think Satterfield was like, look, they're putting all kinds of pressure on us. Uh-huh. We're not going to move this ball 80 yards right now. We need to get to the locker room and talk. Right. Javian, if you can break one off, cool.
Yeah, I'll give you a chance. I'll give you one chance to break one.
But that's it. So I didn't hate that as much as some other people.
Mm-hmm.
And again, now if he's saying no, this is my book. This is the best book. Then yeah, I would say okay. No, I don't. That was a little conservative for me. But I think there. I don't think Satterfield called the game the way he called it on purpose.
Yeah, like I said, and
you can't just pull. You can't just pull right there. You were calling me during the game, and you were saying no. We need to know. He needs to know.
Oh yes, that
yeah.
Can you explain to people what I meant by
because
that?
Because in the heat of the game, I'm calling Marcus, and I'm like, Malik, you can just cut him off team. He can't play. I never play on my team again. He's done.
Right.
Play somebody else.
And everybody was screaming for in game replacements of
the
quarterback.
Yeah, and it's like you were calming me a little bit with. You got to know.
Yeah.
Let him play. You got to let him win or lose this game.
Yeah.
And I think Satterfield was feeling that way, especially with as good of a D-line, because if I know I've got to make a switch, I'm not sure I'm throwing Evan Conley or mm-hmm. T-Webb, a true freshman, in there with that.
Right.
And the reason I'm not using pass is because I don't know where he is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What's the status of him?
Yeah, so.
No, here's the thing. When I saw it during the game, you know, I said that to you because my thought was, I better not see him walk out this next possession.
Yeah.
I better not see him jog out on that field.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But you do that with teams.
Sure.
You pull does that make sense?
Yeah.
We're losing because of you type of games is when you replace it.
Well, and if
you're really record hunting, you know, in development mode.
I was going to say Louisville still. I mean, that's what I say. I mean, you can poop on them all you want today, but Louisville still got 5-6 mm-hmm. that they probably will win by double digits.
Yeah, so
you know, yes. Well, five, maybe not six, but five games they'll probably win by double digits.
So I'm like, watching the game, and as soon as I thought that, I said no, because what happens if one of these other quarterbacks comes in at halftime and plays better?
Yeah,
then you have more of a controversy than a quarterback change.
And in game isn't a true
representation
yeah. Because now Pitt's going, okay, wait a minute. Now we've never saw this kid before.
Right. Number one guy gets all the reps during the week. You know, your scout team has Cunningham and all this stuff. So I'm like, no, this defense is keeping us in it. I want you to look into your wide receivers and your defensive face for a whole game.
Yeah.
Knowing that you're playing bad, you know what I'm saying? Again, 1 of 11 on 30. You go look at them, because if you lose your spot, I want a full, I want a full resume on you. So when we had this conversation, it's not, oh, I was struggling that game. No, you have a resume now.
Yeah,
about athletic teams. You get pressured a little bit. You're making a decision too quick. You're bailing on your players too quick. This is what it is.
So good conversation for tomorrow, because I know we're about to play out, but I'm going to tease it for today. Going into Georgia Tech, it's a game you should probably win. Notre Dame on the horizon. And don't answer this. Let's hold it off till tomorrow.
I can't believe you're talking about Georgia Tech on Monday.
Oh, I know. 2 weeks.
Of a bye
week. Terrible. It's terrible.
Why would you do that?
But hear me out. Are you pulling Malik now if you're Satterfield, and we'll finish this tomorrow? Are you pulling Malik now, or do you go ahead and play through the Notre Dame game, split the season up, give him two more games and try, and then finish off a different way if you have to? I don't know. We'll talk about that tomorrow, because I think that's going to be a major conversation. I love bye weeks for my team. I hate it for sports radio. So it's bye week. It's a bye week.
We're going to have to talk about.
What are we going to do? The finals?
Some scheduling issues. We're going to have to talk about the biggest enemies to the sport.
No, you're good. Just pause.
I know. You think I didn't know that? Middays with Marcus Maven on 939 The Ville.